Our Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask that Thou would open the Word, help us to understand, then grant, Lord, that we may live the Word that we receive. Meet every need of every waiting heart today, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 10. We have been studying this portion for several days. We have seen the mighty angel stand, with one foot on land and one foot on sea, holding in his hand a little book. And we have seen all of the environmental aspects of this unusual scene in the 10th chapter of the book of the Revelation. As we continue our study today, we want to notice with you what we suggested we would look at when we left you last time. Namely, that every voice from God means responsibility. Every vision from God entails responsibility. John had heard the voice. He looked up at this point, and now from heaven he heard the voice say, I want you to do something personally about what you have heard. Oh no, I've paraphrased the words. That isn't exactly what he said. What he said is described in the 8th verse of the 10th chapter, if you will look at it there. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Take that little book, John, out of the angel's hand. That was the first part of the message. John went to the angel and said, in so many words, Give me the little book. And the angel said, in verse 9, Take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. This is not an unusual order for the angel to give to John, as unusual as it may seem to us, because this same sort of order has been given in God's Word before. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, and notice that when Jeremiah was given the Word of God concerning the future, as was John, somewhat the same order was given to him. His obedience was as complete as we shall see John's was. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15, Jeremiah said, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, visit me, revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. May we pause for a moment. I love the way this verse begins. O Lord, thou knowest. And believe me, friend, this morning, he knows. He knows every heartache. He knows every burden. He knows every trial. O Lord, thou knowest. Notice carefully now in verse 16. Thy words were found, Jeremiah said, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah took the word of God and ate it up. Oh no, he didn't literally take the printed page and chew it up as some clown chews up glass, but he absorbed what was written into his mind and into his heart. And in that sense, he ate the word. When he did, he found that what was written was to him the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. So it always is with the Word of God. When we seek comfort from the Word, if we will take the Word, digest the Word, assimilate the Word, then it will indeed be a joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Now for another example, turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, and notice another illustration of this very same thing. A reference to a similar experience at a different time, but for somewhat the same reason as was Jeremiah's. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So you see, this order that the angel gave to John was not an unusual one at all. This sort of order has been given in other days to other Old Testament prophets in order that they might absorb the message that God had for them. It is that the individual who was addressed was to absorb thoroughly the message of the Word of God. And when he did, it would be sweet to him. Now, this is usually true, because when you have the Word of God and you make it a part of your very life, it becomes sweet in the sense that you are satisfied. For the only real satisfaction there is in the Word of the living God. But if you were listening as we read the Word, you noticed that John had a slightly different experience. He was to take the little book, if you will notice here in Revelation 10, and he was to eat it. At first, it was sweet, because it meant blessing for his people Israel. And what could be better than blessing so long awaited? These people down through the years have awaited the blessing of God, the fulfillment of the promise of Abraham, and they have waited so very long. John ate the book, and he found it sweet, because this little book was the introduction to that which would bring about that blessing. But we look more closely at the illustration, and we read, when he studied thoroughly what the angel revealed to him, it became bitter in his belly, because he saw that before the blessing there would come the tribulation, before the glory there would come the trial. It was only after he thoroughly digested the little book that he was able to know both the sweetness and the bitterness of the Word of God. Now, let us emphasize something this morning. Suppose that John had only partially eaten of the book, sort of kept it in his mouth, so to speak. It would have been a sweet message, but it would not have been a true message. And then when the full message of the Word of God was fulfilled, he would have been disconcerted and disturbed because he did not understand. But he not only put the book in his mouth, he thoroughly digested it, and then he knew the sweetness and the bitterness of the Word of God, and he was prepared for whatever might come his way. I would suggest to you today that you and I make an application of this principle to all the Word of God. Men are led into error often, because in the symbolism of our text, the Word of God never gets any further than their mouths. It is not masticated as well as it should be, and errors arise so easily. It's not only important to chew upon the Word of God, but it is important to chew the Word of God well and then digest it. When you do, you will be able to know the sweetness and the bitterness, or, in other words, the whole story of God's Word. And you will not go away with partial information to build a doctrine that cannot last because it has not been built firmly upon God's Word. John would not have been able to finish the book of the Revelation had he not thoroughly digested the information in this little book. That would certainly suggest that we need to digest what is forthcoming if we're going to correctly understand it. But it's true of any portion of God's Word. We should let the Word of God enter into our very innermost being, thoroughly understanding it, and then making application of the truth. Bible scholars have some terminology for this. Bible scholars believe, if they are well taught, that no scripture should ever be taken out of its context, but it should always be interpreted in the light of its immediate context. Bible scholars believe that the Word of God should never be wrested to a man's destruction, but it should be accepted at its ordinary, primary, literal meaning, for whatever God intends for it to mean. Bible scholars believe that the Word of God should always be so interpreted that it will never contradict any other portion of the Word of God. For the Bible very plainly teaches that the Word of God is not of any private interpretation. Now, there is a sense in which this could be applied to personal application, in the sense that no individual has a right to interpret the Word of God for himself as he pleases without the rules of interpretation. But really, the passage of Scripture refers to the fact that no Scripture should be interpreted by itself without reference to other Scriptures. This is the only way to have a well-rounded application of truth. John obeyed the command. He ate the little book. He digested the little book. In his mouth it was sweet, in his belly it was bitter. And that reminds us that what is going to come forth now in the book of the Revelation, because the angel has cried, there will be delay no longer. What is going to come is going to be terrible indeed to behold.